Another hour from the Kodesh Mahan, you know, we're towards the end, 12:09, we might finish this Torah. So first let's have a very quick review just to refresh the major topics, because now in the end we're going to be bringing everything together that we had till now. Rabbi Ezal started off in this Torah talking about the goal that a year passes from the Tikkun is to achieve Memshal of a Malachim. There is danger because the Malachim don't appreciate this necessarily, and there is a Kinas HaMalachim. There is a concept, although people mentioned either Kasha, there's no Yetzahara by a Malach, so where do we see jealousy by a Malach? And the answer is, we proved for many Psukim and other places that there definitely exists this concept of a Kina on the part of Malachim against a Jew, Chas V'Shalom. But Rabbi Ezal said that there is a way to protect yourself, to ensure yourself against this, and that's the concept of Echoiz B'Kisei Kvoidi, to attach yourself to the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem, which represents the Neshamos of Bnei Israel, meaning attaching oneself to the 600,000 Neshamos of Bnei Israel. And we mentioned that Rabbi Ezal in Likutei Halachos puts this into very simple terminology, that the main avodah that a Jew has available to him, which the Malachim would be jealous of, is the avodas ha-tfila, because it's with tfila that we surpass the Malachim, we daven to reach the Kisei HaKavod, which is over their heads. The Malachim reside in the Olam HaYetzira. The tefillah goes basically, generally, to the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem. Malachim get jealous of that. Therefore, the Arizal prepared the precaution for this, that a year before davening says, Harina mekabel alai mitzvah seser shel v'yahavta l'reacha kamecha. By doing this, you're being mekasha yourself to all 600,000 neshamos of Bnei Israel, and thereby protecting yourself. A malach can go up against one Jew and damage and destroy. No malach can destroy the Yisrael, Am Yisrael. The word Yisrael itself means ruling sar over kel, ruling kisarisa malachim vatucho. So Rabbi Ezal said that in order to attach yourself to the neshamos of each year, you have to know the sherish of the neshamos of each year. Rabbi Ezal said the shortcut to that, in a sense, is by attaching yourself to the leaders of Klal Yisrael. If a person could do that, that ensures that he's protected against this kinas hamalachim, and he can achieve this tachlis of memshala of hamalachim and be safe there. Rabbi Ezal said, however, the problem is how to distinguish, how to differentiate between the true leaders of Bnei Israel and those who aren't true. Now, by saying this, Rabbi Ezal is implying that as long as a person has not yet distinguished and differentiated between the true leaders and those that aren't true leaders, he has not yet achieved this hiskashrus to the Sherish Neshamas Yisrael. He hasn't put himself on a level where the Malachim can't topple him over easily. And Rabbi Ezal said that, Rabbi Ezal did not yet explain how it branches off seemingly on a tent. Rabbi Ezal says that how do you distinguish? Through building Yerushalayim. By building Yerushalayim, Yira Shemayim, and Dovar HaMosra Lelev, Nemar Boi V'Yareso, by perfecting a person's heart, that's how he'll be able to distinguish between the true leaders and those who aren't true leaders. How? Not discussed yet. We're going to discuss that tonight. Then Rabbi Ezal explains there are three things that would want to subtract from the Yira Shebelev, and those are the three basic taivos, taivos momoin, taivos achilo, taivos mishagel. And Rabbi Ezal said that those correspond to the three divisions of night, and the solution to those three is to fix up the brain. Till now, first we introduced the topic of Yira Sholem, fixing up the heart. Now Rabbi Ezal discusses fixing up the brain. The three branches of the brain correspond to these three taivos royos, which once a person fixes that up properly, then the flow between the brain and the heart is very, very smooth. The concept of yodato hayoyim v'hashevoiso levavecho, that the das shines into the lev, into the heart, then these gimel meichen, the perfection of the three parts of the brain, those three stand as walls to protect against the three taivos royos, taivos momoin, taivos achila, taivos nashim, and they see to it that the heart should be b'shleimus. Then Rabbi Ezal said that once the heart is b'shleimus, that creates the malach, that's mashpia nevuah, to the klei hanevuah. And Rabbi Ezal went into a whole discussion about that. And when there is this hashpo of nevuah, Rabbi Ezal says that's when the tefillah is b'shleimus. Because we showed how tefillah receives from nevuah. Tefillah is malchus, aleph dalet nun yud. It receives from netzach hoid, which are the klei hanevuah, the kruvim, this concept of the kruvim. and we explain how once there's Shleimus HaTfila, then there's no more need for doctors anymore, because the person draws his Yeshua, his Refuah, from the Devar Hashem, which is the place from which Malachim draw, which is a whole bunch of levels, if a person is zeichet to the shleimus of Devar Hashem. We mentioned this is why we still do come on to doctors, or this is why we have to go to tzaddikim to ask them to be mispal for us, because Rabbeinu Zal here is talking about a person who achieves a shleimus of Devar Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said that implies that he has already broken the three averos of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, which represent the concept of not embarrassing any Jew, not insulting, not saying, not speaking negatively about any Jew, Al Tehi Boz L'Chol Adam, that was Shfichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos means to be pure from any shemets of Pigam HaBris, to be totally pure in Tikkun HaBris, and Avodah Zarah meant not to have even the slightest kilkul ho'emuna, the tiniest deficiency in emuna. Rabbeinu Zal said that could at times be classified as a bechin of Avodah Zarah. And then we spoke about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the fact that he did such a fantastic thing, that he hid the Sefer HaRefuos, and he put together Geula, he was Goyel the Tefillah. He was Saimech Geula the Tefillah, we explained that also last week, and we said this corresponds with the concept of the Hisnoitzitzus of Moshiach, because the main thing of Moshiach is the Reach, Ruach Apenu, Moshiach Hashem, the Af, the nose, which is the concept of Tefillah. Moshiach represents Shleimus HaTefillah. Rabbeinu Zal brings Miloshin Mesiach, constantly speaking. He draws his Koyach Mesiach HaSodeh, from the grasses, from these blades of grasses, he incorporates all those Koyachos of Refuah into himself. This is why the Gemara says that Moshiach is going to cure. One of Moshiach's first jobs is going to be to approach every single Jew and to ask him what illness he has. If a Jew mentions an illness, Moshiach will cure him on the spot. What about the Jew who responds to Moshiach? What's your illness? You know, you have people like that. You ask them, are you sick? No, are you? You know, right away. That person, Rachmana Litzlan, any person who doesn't know what his illness is, that person is the one who's most in trouble. That, Rabbeinu Zal says, is the concept of Hastora Shebetei Hastora, where a person doesn't know that he doesn't know. A person doesn't know that he has a problem, that he's sick. Maybe. Possibly. That's we said that this is also the concept, because we said, where do we see a perfect example in anybody who saw her? The Gemara says, what quality, what did she have in her that gave her this charm? The Gemara says, kol echad v'echad nitmalai ke'umasai. Any person who looked at her, she looked to him as though she came from his country. She was his landsman. And that's what gave her this charm, that each person was able to associate with her, to feel close to her, no matter what country he came from. Rabbeinu Zal says that this person who achieves a Shleimus HaTfilah, which means he rises all the way up to the Shoresh of where everything comes from, that means everything on this world branches out from the Shoresh. If he's hooked up to the Shoresh, then to everybody on bottom, it's going to look to them like he has a direct pipeline to them. Why? Because he's hooked up to the central computer from which everything draws from. That concept. And this is where we left off last week. We pick up from the words Va'azai Yochoy Lahakir Hamefursamim in middle of Ois Yud Gimel, after the first paragraph. Rabbeinu Zal says now, once a person has listened to everything we've said till now, Va'azai Yochoy Lahakir Hamefursamim Shehem Al Yedei Azus. Once a person achieves this type of Shleimus HaTfilah, then he'll be able to distinguish, he'll be able to recognize which leaders are not deserving of leadership, but their acquisition of their leadership spot was via a chutzpah. It was an act of chutzpah on their part to take this position which they weren't roi for, they weren't deserving of. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Ki kishe zeichel tefillah, because when a person is zeichel tefillah, shehu b'chinas dvar Hashem, which is the dvar Hashem, shehu hasheresh ha'elyon, which is the highest level origin, shekol hasorim ha'elyonim, all the heavenly rulers, v'chol tzvo hashamayim kulam akavlam koicham imenu, and all the armies of heaven, all draw their koyach from this shayresh, from this Devar Hashem, as the Pasuk says, we quoted this a few times, Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzavom, that the heavens were originally created Bidvar Hashem, and is that it? Was there just one creation? No. Ubetuvoi Mechadesh Bechoyim Tovid. We quoted a Pasuk from the Baal Shem Tov recently. What was the Pasuk? That Hashem places his word Bashamayim. What's the wording?
Baruch Hashem Bashamayim.
La'ilam Hashem dvorcho nitzov b'ashamayim. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, what's Taich? What is David HaMelech pointing out with that? So what? So why isn't not nitzav in an apple pie? What does that do for us? The answer is, this lets us know the concept of this chiddush ma'aseh bereishis every single day. The fact that there was, what? How was the world originally created? Via the Dvar Hashem. It's a pasuk, b'dvar Hashem. It's locked into position, and it causes a chiddush ma'aseh bereishis every single day. There's new koichos that are shined into all these things every day. What do these new koichos come from? From the same shirish that they came from when the world was originally created from. Originally it came from the Dvar Hashem, so too every single day the chiddush ha'olam, the chiddush ma'aseh bereishis comes from the Dvar Hashem. And any person who's hooked up to this Dvar Hashem, he's drawing from the mokar from which all of these things are drawing from. Which means that they, in effect, are all drawing via him. In other words, it's as though he puts his mouth around the original pipe, and now anything that's to get past him must go through him, via him. So Rabbi Nizal says now, all of these armies of heaven all draw their koyach via him. Azai hem kulam bechinas loven etzloi. So, in effect, they all become borrowers from him. The Bechinas, as the Zohar HaKadosh used the terminology, kol choich vayo lovin domido, that all the stars borrow one from another. The lower level borrows from the upper level. Borrow means a concept to receive. Eved loy velishmalve means that one who gives and one who receives, the one who receives, even if it's a concept of present, in a sense it's a loan because he feels a need to pay back. A person gets a matono, there is the toiva sano of giving the matono, and the one who receives it feels indebted to the one who gave it to him. That kind of concept. The concept of manda ochil delav dilei bohis listakuli biape. So even when there's a concept of giving, it's still a concept of lending, because it's not where you totally detach yourself from the item. When you give somebody something, you create a bond between yourself and that person, where in a sense you're lending, you're expecting to receive something back from that person. That's the norm, that's the nature. The Torah tells us, try to develop a super nature. It's like the ground, people step on it, and it gives them everything that they need. So too a person should climb to a level where even those who don't show him good, even those who show him bad, he returns good. But the norm is this concept that even when you give somebody something, it's a concept of lending, because you are expecting something back, whether not necessarily payment, but you're expecting some type of reciprocation. Hakoras hatoiv, it's called. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, Nimtzo shekulam hem bechinas lovim ad sheirish elyon shidvar Hashem. So this implies that all levels of creation are, in a sense, borrowers, one from another, until they get to the sheirish, to the origin, which is the Dvar Hashem, shehu bechinas habal tfila. That's the concept of this person who is called a baal tfila, a master of tfila, shehu hamal vehagodol. He achieves the title of super lender. We call him Malve HaGodol. He's the super lender. He's hooked up to the Dvar Hashem, which receives from nothing. That's the giver. That's the one who's shining out to other people. All the armies of heaven and all the forces, all the powers of the world, all borrow from him, meaning they draw from him. That's the concept, they receive from him. The Bechinas, as the Pusik says, Utsevo Hashamayim Lecho Mishtachavim. The Pusik says about Hashem that all the armies of heaven bow to Hashem. They subjugate themselves to Hashem. Lecho, to Hashem himself. Rabbi Nizal says that a person who is Mekasher himself to the Dvar Hashem, he also achieves this title where all the armies of heaven are Nichna to him, even to such a person. All the armies of heaven bow and become humbled to their origin. Their origin is not Hashem, it's the Dvar Hashem. That's where they were created from originally. Bechinas habal tefila kanal. And a person who achieves this level of baal tefila, we said that he connects himself to the Dvar Hashem. So, in effect, these armies of heaven are nichna to him also. All of these different levels of creation become nichna to him also. V'zeh, Rabbi Elazar says, this is why you'll note an interesting item. Rabbi Elazar says, v'zeh, this is why the first letters of the pasuk, Utzvo Hashomayim L'cho Mishtachavim Roshei Tevois Malveh. The first letters of the pasuk that says that all the armies of heaven bow and humble themselves to you. Who's the to you? L'cho is a pronoun. Who's the noun? The noun is hinted to in the first letters of this pasuk. They bow to the Malveh. Whoever is zeichet to become the lender, everyone is nichna. All borrowers are nichna to the super lender, to the one who lends to everybody. Ki kulam hein bechinas lovin zemizeh vezemizeh ad hamalveh hagodol. Each level of creation is a concept of a borrower from the level above it. They receive from the level above them until we reach all the way up to the malveh hagodol. Shehu bechinas habal tefila, who is the master of tefila. Any person who is zeichet to become a master of tefila, he achieves this title of malveh. Ki hu bechinas hasheresh ha'elyon, he represents this concept of this heavenly origin. Shehu dvar Hashem kanal, which is the dvar Hashem. Period. Rabbi Nezal says, v'al kein, and therefore, based on what we just said, that's why such an individual, yochay lahakir b'hamefursamim shem rak al yedei azus, such a person will find it easy to be able to distinguish, to be able to recognize which leaders have this chutzpah. Their leadership is via a chutzpah. It doesn't really belong to them. Why? Because the Gemara says in Baba Metzia, we have a rule in human nature. Ein odom meiz ponov b'fnei bal choyvoi. That a borrower, the norm of a borrower is that he doesn't have the audacity to deny, to act arrogantly in the face of his lender. This concept of manda ochel delav delay bohis list akule biape. When you have a lender and a borrower, it's like totally ridiculous, totally insane that the borrower should be able to show any chutzpah to the face of the lender. Although we find in today's generation, as the Gemara says, be'ikvas the Meshicha, chutz be'yazgi means it's gone to such an to wild extents. But we're talking within semi-normal boundaries. The norm is that if one is a lender and one is a borrower, the borrower can never show any chutzpah to the lender himself. If that's the case, then if a person could achieve such a level whereby everything in creation relative to him becomes borrower relative to lender, now no item in creation will be able to be meiz ponim to him. So if you have a leader in the world who is a leader via azus, that leader will become humble before such a person. He won't be able to show his chutzpah in the face of his lender. V'yalkein azusam noife lifnei habal tefila. Therefore, their chutzpah falls in front of this Baal Tefillah, this master of Tefillah, Shehu HaMalveh HaGodel Kanal. Rabbi Nezal refers to him as this super lender, this great lender. Ki kulam hein bechinas lovin mimeno kanal. Because all aspects of the world, even these leaders, these supposed leaders, compared to him, they're borrowers, they're receivers. Therefore, they cannot show their azus in his face.
Does this contradict the idea, though, that they're supposed to be chokam and tzadikemis, the high demic?
We're going to get to that in a minute. If that's the case, how is it conceivable, for example, that Korach was able to show such chutzpah in the face of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was zeichet to the Dvar Hashem on the highest level. He was zeichet to the highest level of tefillah conceivable. Vayechal Moshe espanei Hashem aleikov. He was zeichet to bring about the super forgiveness of sins. How is it conceivable that people were able to show chutzpah to him? Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says that obviously, what Rav Nachman was saying here is that this is the only one before whom they become nechna is only before this Baal Tefillah himself, number one. In other words, it's only when they're in his presence, like, and looking at him, then they become number one. And even that is bedakus. In other words, it's not necessarily that the minute one of these chutzpinyaks comes before they become nechna, it's on a very thin level that this happens. But it's enough for this Baal Tefillah to be able to recognize instantly, oh, this one is not a real one. Because I see that when he stands before me, there is some aspect of busha that comes over him. But Rav Nachman Shirinzal forewarns that don't assume, because we see big tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu, or others, where we see they did have machlekas. And Rav Nachman Shirinzal adds on, and so too this carries over in every generation. Those are his words exactly. So he's implying very clearly that this isn't to assume that when these people, these mefursamim, come before the Malba HaGadol, they become nizbatel. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying that this one will be able to recognize, not necessarily will be able to destroy them, he'll be able to recognize which ones are via Azus, which ones aren't.
But certainly, some Shul Emes are certainly...
Ah, but the answer is, again, we have this statement in the Gemara, Ein Odom Meiz Ponov Vifnei Bal Chayvoy. So a mafursam shel emes, who has a true kavod, his kavod will not become wiped out. Because his kavod is not machmas azus, it's a kavod that came to him via his Torah, kavod chachamim yincholu, via his tefillah, tefillah's malchus kavod. Whereas one whose kavod comes to him via azus, that the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, ein odam meiz ponov, that'll go out of the window. You'll see it dissipate. And when this Baal Tefila sees that the kavod of a person dissipates completely in his presence, that's when he knows, oh, this is not a real one. You understand?
Then you must have to share that a person shall also be a person that's really very good, maybe even a shomer risk, but the fact that he knows that he's really not ready for this leadership, and he stays in it, and what makes him feel shaker is that he stops people from going to the Sadiq.
And that's a concept of it. Yes. Again, when we talk relative, because in MS there's degrees of MS, in Sheker there's degrees of MS. We can have a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who's a Tzaddik even, but his madrega of MS is much, much lower than one who's much closer to the MS. So compared to him, he's a Bechina Sheker in a sense. You understand? Okay. Rabbi Nizal says now, V'zeh Bechinas, this is what the Pasuk says, Ki motzoso chein bi'enai, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have found favor in my eyes, ve'edoacho b'shem, and I will let you know the name. Rabbi Nizal says, Shal yidei Bechinas nesius chein, when a person is zeichet to this level of being zeichet to acquire the charm that we spoke about before, Shehu Bechinas utzvo ha-shamayim l'chomishtachavim, how does he acquire this? By rising to such a high level where each one feels that they're a part of him. This concept of kolech vech nidmolei kumasoi, whereby all the heavenly armies are nichna to him, shekula mekablim v'lovin imenu, shal yidei ze noisei chein b'neihem, because they all receive from him, therefore they feel he's like a parent to all of them. A parent is naisechein automatically to the child, machmasti hashpo, because of the fact that the parent is mashpia to the child. The bechinas kol echad v'yechad nidmalay kumasi kanal ha'idei zeh v'yeidu acho b'shein. Through that, Hashem said, through the fact, ki motzos chein v'yeinai, because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have achieved this level of nesius chein, through that, v'yeidu acho b'shein, I will give you the power to get to know about ba'alei shein. Meaning, shetucha lodas ulahakir kol ha'mefursomim ba'alei hashem. You'll be given the power to recognize among all of these leaders who are called ba'alei hashem, people of reputation, reputable people, ki mi shehu mefursom, because one who is a mefursom, v'yesh lo shem al yedei azus, he has a reputation, he has a glory that has come to him via azus, via chutzpah, who noifei lefonov, he falls before such a person. Gam vi, that's one interpretation of this pasuk. Another interpretation, ve'edoach b'shem, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will let you know about shame. What is shame? Zebechinas hanefoshos. The word shame means nefesh. The word shame means nefesh. Ki al yidei the bechinas, as the pasuk says, nefesh chayo hu shemoi. The nefesh of a person is the name of the person. That's the whole kavod of the person. Vayas David shem. David Melech is malchus. Malchus is kavod. Nefesh is malchus. Nafshi yotza bedabroi. Nefesh is kavod also. This bechinas shem. So Rabbi Nezal says, "Kal yedei hamefursamim." So Rabbi Nezal says, "Kal yedei hamefursamim hu mekusharim kol hanafoshes kanal." This refers back to what we said in the beginning, that when a person is zayecha to know the mefursamim, that means automatically he becomes attached to all the nefoshes of Bnei Yisrael. Why? Because each mefursam has a certain quantity of nefoshes that are under his leadership. Rabbi Nezal says, "Sheze bechinas ma'achis pnei hakise." That's the concept of the pasuk which says about a Jew attaching himself, grabbing hold of the throne of Hashem. Dahainu hiskashrus l'sharoshi haneshamois. That's the concept of attaching yourself to the sheresh haneshamois, shehein bechinas kisei hakovel, which represents the kisei hakovel. Note that we refer generally to the kisei hakovel as referring to tzadikim, the avos hakdoshim Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, and David HaMelech. Those are referred to as the dalid ragli hamerkova. A person who attaches himself to these four most basic ones of all the tzadikim, automatically he's being makasher himself to all the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael, all 600,000 neshamos of Bnei Yisrael.
Well, not as what Adi is before, but he seems to say that the only mefursamim of Sheker is the ones coming out via Azus.
Right. Now, as Rabbeinu Zal uses those terms synonymously, mefursam shel Sheker is one to whom his pirsum has come via the chin of Azus. This Azus malchusa b'leit tango. He said that before. If you take a look in the beginning, where he spoke about mefursamim, yes, just a second. Ach tzorich leido l'hakir hamefursamim, ki yesh kama mefursamim shehem b'sheker, v'heim rak al yidei azus. Kama yisham razal, azus malchus ha-boykan. That he said very clearly.
That
the definition of mefursam shel sheker is one whose person has come via chutzpah. In other words, the Gemara says a person should never accept a leadership position unless he's welcomed by the people. We have a Beferish Shahaluch and Shulchan Aruch. What's one of the clearest examples of a leadership position? Shliach Tzibur. What's the main quality of a Shliach Tzibur? He should be a tzaddik, a chosid, he should be tall, he should have a good voice. Excellent, but all secondary. Primary is merutzo l'kohol. The people should want him. Why? Because malchus is the lesla madarme klom. This is a concept of malchus, leadership, rulership. The definition of melech is something which doesn't come from itself. It receives from everywhere else. So if there is a melech where any of his malchus comes via himself, he has contradicted the word melech. It's a lie. It's a sheker. It's a mefursim shel sheker. He's lying in the definition of melech.
Is it going to be discussed here exactly what we mean by his contrast to these sums? How? What do you do?
In other words, number one, we do it in physical form. In other words, we have the examples that the Arizal said and that Rabbi Nezal said. The Arizal said that when a person says those words, it's not just lip service. What you're saying literally is that before you present your tefillah to Hashem, you recognize that any one person who would dare to stand before Hashem himself and present his tefillah as an individual, that's chutzpah. That in itself is a chutzpah. It's an azus ponim. You have the audacity, you, one, low, etc., have the audacity to speak to the melech, malchim, ruch, makodesh, baruch hu just on your own. That in itself is an act of chutzpah. The Arizal says the way to lessen this chutzpah, to cut it down to the point where you're zeichet to have chen in Hashem's eyes, and the item which has the most chen in Hashem's eyes is anova, vela anovim yitein chen, is how? Before you daven, you say, Hashem, listen, I admit, if it were me davening, I wouldn't dare. If I wanted to speak to you alone, I would never have the audacity to conceive that I could do that. But before I start davening, I go, and I concentrate. That by doing that, I'm being mekasha myself. I'm acknowledging that I'm part of a total organism which makes up the entire Klal Yisrael. And when I'm about to daven to Hashem, I'm not coming as an individual. I'm coming as one who has locked arms, who has hooked up with all 600,000 neshamos of Bnei Yisrael. How? By judging each one of the kaschus, by including each one within the gedder of Yisrael, incorporating them into my tefillah. Does that, his tefillah is able to go on. So that's one symbolism of this word, because to think mentally or to say verbally, I am hereby attaching, I want to consider myself attached to each Jew in Klal Yisrael. attaching himself to the tzaddikim harini mekasher atzmi l'chol tzaddikim by saying those words that Rabbeinu Zal said and thinking of what you're saying, that I want to attach myself. What does attach yourself mean? Shamish talmid chachamim. The Gemara says by marrying a bas talmid. The Gemara has whole definitions of what that means. What it means to be mekasher yourself to the talmid chachamim. That they misavik babaraglayam, all of those things. Yes. Definitely. In other words, that's part of this symbolism that you'll note. In the Shemoneh Esrei, which is the most significant of all tefillos, what's the first thing that we do? Note, let's look at this chapter on Likutei Moharan, which is teaching us the whole limud of tefillah. What's the first thing he says you need? You need to attach yourself to the tzaddikim. Baruch atah Hashem alekeinu v'alekei avoseinu, alekei Avraham, alekei Yitzchak, alekei Yaakov. The first thing we start with is being mekat. The first bracha is called birchas ha'avos, attaching ourselves to the tzaddikim. That's the first thing. No question. Next. Rabbeinu Zal says now this whole Torah on Likutei Moharan was said on Rosh Hashanah. And everything that we discussed here centers around the topic of Rosh Hashanah. Everything that we spoke here about attaching yourself to tzaddikim and about shleimus of tefillah, all of these things refer to Rosh Hashanah, to the tefillahs, the special tefillahs that we have Rosh Hashanah, the fact that people usually come to a tzaddik for Rosh Hashanah, all of those things are all tied into this Torah. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to summarize and show how everything we mentioned till now is tied into the concept of Rosh Hashanah, the main concept of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Zal says, Va'azai, and then, once a person has achieved everything we've said till now, then such a person, Yechaylen La'asais Rosh Hashanah, such a person is capable of making Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, whenever a person gets together with a friend to speak to him, Ze bechinas Rosh Hashanah. That's a concept of Rosh Hashanah. Whenever two Jews get together and they talk, that's a concept of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehu Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. Shehu Yoshev V'don Es Chaveroi. Because whenever a person speaks to his friend, generally, it's automatic that somewhere in the conversation, he's going to be making judgments on his friend. Based on a statement that his friend is going to make, he's going to judge his friend via that statement and react accordingly. Either he'll yell, or he'll scream, or he'll kiss, or he'll promise him presents, whatever it is, all based on a concept of a judgment that takes place. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'tzorich lizoher mize ma'oid. A person has to be very, very, very careful about this. And to look at himself very closely, to scrutinize himself very well, is he worthy of this? To judge his friend. Now we mentioned previously, we learned a Torah Likutei Moharan, Chelek Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal tells over something that he was zeichet to hear from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said that there's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos where the Mishnah says, what does the Mishnah say? What? No. No, where the Mishnah says that v'nefroin min ha'odom midatoi v'shaloi midatoi, that in heaven sometimes they punish a person with his knowledge and sometimes without his knowledge. The Baal Shem Tov gave another interpretation of that Mishnah. V'nefroin min ha'odom, they punish a person midatoi, with his knowledge, v'shaloi midatoi, and without his knowledge, meaning both at the same time. How do they do this? The Baal Shem Tov said you should know that before Hashem punishes a Yid for any avera that he ever did, they ask the Yid whether he thinks he should be punished or not. They ask the person who did the avera, do you think you should be punished for this or not? Now the question is, if anybody ever asks you, no matter what you did wrong, if anybody ever asks you, should we give you a patch? The answer is, of course not. I ask my kids always, should daddy hit you for this? No, but you did something wrong. So you asked the question, I gave you an answer. The Baal Shem Tov says any person would say this also. So the answer is, in heaven they're very smart. They ask him, but yet they don't ask him. They ask him, they're asking his opinion, but they're not asking his opinion. How do they do this? They ask him, what would you say if Reuven did this and this sin? What should the penalty be? And whatever the person answers, that's what they do to him. In other words, they ask him a hypothetical question, what would you say if somebody else did this? And the Baal Shem Tov said that this takes place 24 hours a day. A person is constantly being put into these kind of situations where he offers an opinion, a judgment on somebody, and he never knows when the one who's actually being judged is himself. That this was a setup. This was a frame. Kaviyachol, he was set up by Hashem. This is what the Baal Shem Tov revealed, that this is one of the manners that they deal in heaven in judging a person. This is part of the super, super fairness on the part of Hashem. We say, how can Hashem judge a person if Hashem doesn't have Bechira? Hashem can't put himself in my position exactly. How can Hashem determine my judgment? The answer is he doesn't. He has you yourself pass judgment on yourself. And there's nothing that could conceivably be more fair, more righteous than that. How? With a little bomb. This slight trick of asking you the question about somebody else. And the Baal Shem Tov says, therefore, warning, watch your blankety-blank mouth. Watch your mouth constantly, 24 hours a day, red alert, to avoid passing judgment on people bechlal. Whenever a situation comes up that you have to say something about someone else, not that he's a rat, in other words, we're not even talking about something outright, or he deserves this and this. This happens bedakus sometimes. They do this in heaven in such tricky ways. We're talking about malach in heaven. There's ways of doing it to catch you on a tiny word, a slight inference where you infer something, and that's enough to catch you on that. So the Baal Shem Tov says a person has to watch his mouth tremendously to avoid, again, work for yourself. We're asking you to do this for your own good. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to self-destruct. So Rabbeinu Zal here is referring to that same thing, that a person has to look at himself and ask himself, who am I to judge my friend, to judge my fellow man? Ki hamishpat l'elokim hu, because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that judgment belongs only to Hashem. Human beings are very, very rarely worthy of judging. Because the only one who's really, really perfect in being worthy of judging people is only Hashem Himself. As the Gemara says in Perkei Avos, Al Todin Es Chavercho Ad Shetagi Al Mekaymoi, that each and every single human being in this world has a Mokaim, has a certain place where he's coming from. A lot of times people say, you can't judge my situation because you don't know where I'm coming from. That's the slang that the Velt uses. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos uses that same terminology. Each and every single person in this world has a Mokaim. Your makayim, I have my makayim, and there's no way in the world that you could understand totally my makayim unless you are on a level where your makayim is kolel all makayimis, as we're going to see soon. But the norm is that each and every person has his makayim, and unless you can put yourself into somebody else's makayim, you are not in a position to judge. If you were put into his exact test, with all the circumstances that are related to his upbringing and his parents and his previous reincarnations and everything that shaped and formed his soul, maybe you could figure out what you would have done in the same situation. Without that, zero. You're not in a position to judge that person whatsoever. So Rabbeinu Zal says, the Mishnah says, Al Todin Es Chaver Chachad Yilam Mekoymoi, Umi Hu Sheyochoy Leida Ulagi Yilam Mekoym Chaveroi Ki Yim Hashem Yispar. Which person knows and can achieve, can recognize the Mekoym of every other person except for Hashem? Shehu Mekoymoi Sheloylam Ve'ein Hoylam Mekoymoi. The Medrash says that one of the praises that we say about Hashem is that Hashem is Mekoymoi Sheloylam. Hashem is the place of the world, and the world is not the place of Hashem. Usually we say there's area, and you are in the area. Kaviyochol, the term space exists within Hashem. Hashem is the ballpark of space. It's not that space contains Hashem. Hashem, kaviyochol, contains the concept of space. The Sifrei Kabbalah show this. We see this within the name of Hashem itself. Those who are familiar with the most basic algebra conceivable. Algebra or geometry? Length times width. Geometry. The simplest geometry, how do you determine the area of an item? The area of a rectangle is length times width. The area of a square is side square. You take any side square. Why? Because the length and the width of a square are identical. So by multiplying the length by itself, in a sense, it's as though you multiply the length times the width. So if we want to determine the area of any normal-looking item, how do we do it in geometry? We multiply the length times the width. That'll tell us how many square inches or square meters, whatever it is, are inside. The Zohar HaKadosh says, let's see, kaviyochel, what the length and width of Hashem is. We would certainly say that Hashem, if we wanted to speak about Hashem kaviyochel, we wouldn't say Hashem is a rectangle. No one side is longer than the other. Kaviyochel, Hashem is a concept of a square, equal on all sides. The Zohar HaKadosh says, therefore, let's study the name of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the most basic name of Hashem. Let's take that and square it. Yud is 10, 10 square is 100. Hey is 5, 5 square is 25, 125. Vav, Yud Kei, Vav squared is 36, 125 and 36 is, no, 125 and 36 is 161. The last hey is another 5, 5 square is 25, 165 and 25, 100 is 186, which is bigimatria mokaim, the word mokaim itself. The Zohar HaKadosh says, kaviyochel, here we see that Hashem himself is the concept of mokaim. Not that mokaim contains Hashem, Hashem is mokaim. Therefore, Hashem can say about himself that I can put myself in any other person's place, because I am the concept of a place, the concept of space. Therefore, I can put myself in any other person's space, within any other person's area. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein chu levado yisborach yochay lodan esodom. Therefore, only Hashem is capable of judging a person. Ki hu yisborach bal horachamim. Because we know that Hashem is very, very kind. What kind of judge is Hashem? Hashem is a very good judge. Hashem is a very kind judge. U'bevadai hu mekayim bonu heveidones kol odom lekaf schus. And certainly Hashem is mekayim the mitzvah of judging a person lekaf zechus. We see the pity, the rachmanus of Hashem, in the fact that Hashem was koveya the judgment day, which is Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Chodesh. Hashem made Rosh Hashanah fall out on a Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. That alone shows us the tremendous kindness of Hashem. Why? Ki zehu chesed godel. This is a fantastic act of kindness on the part of Hashem. Ki eichayinu merimim poneinu levakesh kapora meite yisporach. How would we have the audacity to ask Hashem to forgive us? Why? I told you not to do this, you did it. Petch. What's it? What do you mean? How does the word "I'm sorry" begin to apply? Where does that originate from? Where does that come from? Al kein also imanu chesed. Therefore, Hashem did for us a fantastic kindness. The kova yom hadin Rosh Hashanah b'Rosh Chodesh, and Hashem established the judgment day specifically on Rosh Chodesh. She'oz, it's that one day that kaviyochel hu yisporach bi'atzmo imavakesh kapora. There's one day of the month that Hashem himself asks for forgiveness. Kaviyochel, Hashem himself admits that he made a mistake, that he needs forgiveness for something. Bebechinas, as the Gemara, as the pasuk says, "Havio alai kapora hanema b'Rosh Chodesh." The Gemara says in Chulin that when the sun and the moon, when the moon came before Hashem with a complaint, and the moon said, "It's impossible to have two kings ruling the world, the sun and the moon," Hashem said, "You're complaining. You go down. Then you lechi umat yisatzmech. You lower yourself. Then you become ice king. There can only be one king. Guess what? It's not you. It's the sun." So the Gemara says, the moon said, "Hey, what's going on? I just asked a question. What sin did I? In other words, I didn't do a sin. I asked a question. I simply said why." Hashem said, "All right, I'll give you stars as a pacifier." Said, "What kind of pacifier? I asked the question. Why do I get lower?" Hashem said, "All right, I'll give you this." So the Gemara says that the moon kept saying, "But what? But why?" Until Hashem said, finally, and Hashem didn't say, "No, I'll restore you." Until finally, Hashem said, "You know what? You're right. I'm sorry." And to prove I'm sorry, to prove the I'm sorry, I'm going to have the Yidden every single month at the time when the new moon starts to go. On that day, I'm going to have the Yidden bring a special korban for forgiveness. For forgiveness for who? Haviu olai kapora. Hashem said the Yidden will bring a korban to forgive for my sin. You're right. I made a mistake. I lowered you. Not that I'm going to take it back. You stay lowered. But I'm willing to bring a korban, to have Eden bring a korban that symbolizes an apology, a monthly apology from Hashem to the moon. The fact that Hashem did this was only as a spectacular favor for Bnei Yisrael. Without this, which Jew could ever dare to face Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? How do you say that to the Melech Malchei Amluchim, to this all-powerful and everything say that you told me to do something, I'm sorry, I didn't listen. The fact that Kaviyochol, such a concept, exists by Hashem also, and Hashem made the judgment day, Bedafka on a Rosh Chodesh, that's what gives us an opening to be able to open our mouths and ask for forgiveness also. Why? Because it's like we're trading apologies. This is a date on which Hashem apologizes, and we apologize, and everybody becomes good friends again. That concept. Let's just finish this little piece. Rabbi Nizal says, "Me'achar she's right. Gam also al yedei Hashem yisparach ba'atzmai kaviyochol boli deizeh, through the fact that Hashem kaviyochol had to come to this point. Sheyitzarech loymer that Hashem had to say, Havi olai kapora, bring a sacrifice to forgive for me. Hainu she'osa dovor shehutzrach lehischarit olov. Hashem is implying, as though he did something that he has to show regret for. Veloymer, and to say, Havi olai kapora, bring some kind of forgiveness for this. Alkein ein lanu busha lovei lefanov b'chatoinu. That's what subtracts a little bit from the super embarrassment that we should feel in coming before Hashem, levake shalem kapora, to ask for forgiveness for our many sins, ula hischarit aleim, and to show our remorse, our regret for them. Ki gam hu yisporach osa dovor shehutzrech leischarit olav kanal. Because we see Hashem himself, in a sense, did something which warrants a charoto, a concept of regret. Nimtza, what do we see from this? She'anorayin gaidol rachmanis shalai. We see an incredible rachmanis on the part of Hashem that we know human beings are not generally capable of. Usually a human being likes the satisfaction. He doesn't like if somebody does something wrong to him, he doesn't say, let me figure out a trick whereby I'll make it easier for the other person to apologize to me. Let me figure out some sort of way where I'll make it look, although I know I didn't do something wrong, I'll say something to the effect that I know I'm not perfect either. Once I say that, that makes it easier for the other person to show his imperfection openly. Human beings generally have pride and gaiva and other mishigasim where they're not capable of this, but we see part of these super rachmanis on the part of Hashem in the simple fact that Hashem made Rosh Hashanah on a Rosh Chodesh dafka. This is the only yantif. Pesach is not on a Rosh Chodesh, Shavuos, Sukkos. The only yantif is the judgment day. The judgment day comes out bedafka on Rosh Chodesh. Why? To show these super rachmanis on the part of Hashem that the Yidden are coming before Hashem to be judged, to say their apologies. Hashem set it up in such a way where it should be made as easy as possible. The maximum opening that could be opened to make it easy for Bnei Yisrael has been prepared by Hashem. That's taich in this chesed on the part of Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, Alkein, therefore, is no question that Kul Levado Yisporach Roi Lodon Esoilam. It's only Hashem that's really worthy of judging the world. Ki Hu Yisporach Yoidea Mokoim Kol Echod V'Echod. Because He, Hashem, knows and understands the place of each and every single person. Ki Kol HaMakoimois Heim Etzlo Yisporach. Because all places are by Hashem. We just showed within the name of Hashem that the word Mokoim comes from Hashem. It's something that comes from Hashem. Ki hu mekaymoi shel olam, ve'ein ha'olam mekaymoi kanal. Because the Medrash says that Hashem is the mokoyim of the world, and the world is not His mokoyim. Ki af al pi sha'anu maitzim mekaymois, sha'oya behem hashruas hashchina. Now, the kash is, a person might ask, how could you say this? How could you say that Hashem is the center? Kaviyocha, Hashem is the arena in which space is contained, if we find in a few places in the Torah, we find a concept of Hashem seemingly being contained within an area. Rabbi Nizal says, although we find certain places where the Torah says that in this place there was a Hashruas Hashchina, the Shechina rested in a place, kigoyim bebeis hamikdash, in the beis hamikdash, other places like that, Ein hakavona chas v'shalom shenitzamtzem sham elikusa yisbara chas v'shalom. The interpretation of that is not chas v'shalom to mean the fact that Hashem constricted himself and allowed himself to be completely contained within such a place. K'moy shomar shloimoy, as Shloimoy HaMelech stated very, very clearly, hinei hashomayim u'shmei hashomayim lo yechalkelucha, the heavens and all the heavenly heavens cannot contain Hashem, afki abayis hazeh. So I certainly don't think that this building is going to be able to contain Hashem. Rak, it's only machmas shehoy yesham dvorim noim, because the Beis HaMikdash had in it certain beautiful items, noim, beauty. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Tikkun HaZohar says that in the Beis HaMikdash was found the picture, the beauty of the beginning, the origin of the creation of the world. The Tziur of Maisa Bereishis was found in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tziur of the Gan Eden, and the picture, the image of Gan Eden, was also in the Beis HaMikdash. The way the Beis HaMikdash was created, one who knows the secrets of Kabbalah knows how in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, it was constructed in such a way where it's representative of Maisa Bereishis, and it's representative of the whole Gan Eden. The whole image of Gan Eden could be understood, could be visualized within the images of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Nizal says, Al Kain, therefore, Himshich Lashom Kiddushoso Yisborach. Hashem allowed his Kiddusha to be drawn into the Beis HaMikdash. Avol Hu Yisborach, but in other words, he allowed some of his Kiddusha to be drawn into there. But Kaviyochol Hashem himself, Ein Ho'ilam Mekoymoy, the world is not his place. Rakhu Mekoymoy Shalom, Hashem is the place of the world. The Alkane, and because of this fact, because of the fact that Hashem is the place of the whole world, therefore, Yochel Asayis Rosh Hashanah, Hashem can make Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is authorized to judge, to conduct a procedure of judgment, Shehu Yoyim Adin, a day of judgment, Ki Hu Mekayim Al Todin Es Chaver Chad Shadigya L'Mekayimoy, because Hashem is capable of being Mekayim, this concept of not judging a person until you get to that person's level, to that person's place. Ki Hu Mekayimoy Shalom Kanal, Hashem is the Mekayim of the world. Rabbi Nizal says now, and this is all hinted to, do we still have time on the tapes? Let me know when we run out of time. Rabbi Nizal says, this is all hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim that we say on Friday night. Leveischo no'avo kodesh, mikol ismayim rav matir mishpayom ade b'amor Hashem, edoisecho nemnu ma'od, leveischo no'avo kodesh, Hashem lo'erech yomim. We're just going to study these words now. Leveischo no'avo kodesh, Hashem lo'erech yomim. Rabbi Nizal explains, Leveischo no'avo kodesh, Hashem lo'erech yomim, haynu shehashem yisporach himshich Rak kiddushosay lebeis hamikdash. Leveischo no'avo kodesh. Hashem allowed part of his kodesh to be drawn into this bias, into the beis hamikdash. Why machmas shoyosham dvorim no'im lebeischo no'avo? Because this bias had no'avo. It had certain items of beauty. Those items of beauty allow us to draw Hashem upon ourselves, which means that when a person puts on tzitzis or tefillin or Mila or those things about which the Gemara says in Shabbos, his no'er lefonov b'mitzvois, that's a bechina of no'avo, that allows us, just as the Beis HaMikdash, because it had this no'avo, these dvorim no'im, it was able to draw a hashruas hashchina, so to these mitzvois, which are a bechina of his no'er, this bechina of no'avo, they also allow us to draw a hashruas hashchina upon ourselves. That's the wording in the Shulchan Aruch. You put on tzitzis, you put on tefillin, you draw the kiddusha upon yourself. How? Look at the wording here, that wherever there is a place of no'avo, Hashem is mamshich his kiddusha into that place. Rabbi Nizal says, but just a second. Aval hu yisparach bi'atzmai ein ha'ilam ha'kaimah. But Hashem himself, the world is not his place. Rakhu ha'kaimah shalom. He's the place of the world. V'alkein, that's why the pasuk finishes off by saying, Hashem li'oirech yomim. Hainu shehu yisparach. Hashem is the one who's capable of Eirech Yomim. What is Eirech Yomim? Rosh Hashanah. Shehu Yomo Arichto. The Gemara refers to Rosh Hashanah as the long day. Rosh Hashanah is the only one Yontif. It's the only Yontif which, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's celebrated as 2 days. Why? Because it's not really 2 days. It's like one long day. What's the whole reason for 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Because Rosh Hashanah comes out on Rosh Chodesh, and we don't know, Rosh Chodesh is a concept of Sofek, we don't know which day it's supposed to be. That's why Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, this concept of Yom Arichta. We just said before that the fact that Rosh Hashanah comes out on Rosh Chodesh, that's part of the Chesed of Hashem, the super Chesed of Hashem. That's what allows Hashem to be the only one who's authorized to act on this Yom Arichta, to act on this long day, this Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Nizal says, okay, that's Hashem. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Umi she'oicheiz bebechinas kisei hakovoid. Now, a tzaddik who is zeichet to attach himself, to grab hold of the Kisei HaKovoy, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. He was Ma'achez Pnei HaKisei. Meaning, Bebechinas Shoroshi HaNeshamois, one who is zeichet to attach himself to the Shoroshim of all the Neshamois of Klal Yisrael, Hu Gamkein Bechinas Mekoy Moshe Leilam. Such a tzaddik also achieves this concept of Mekoy Moshe Leilam. He rises to a level where this tzaddik can become this Bechina of Mekoy Moshe Leilam. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, the Kisei Kovoid Yanchileim, the Kisei HaKovoid will provide for them, will provide for the poor people, Ki La Hashem Mitzukei Oretz, because to Hashem belongs all corners of the world, all ends of the world, Vayoshes Alehem Tevel, and Hashem spread out for them the entire world. Dahainu al yedei bechinas kisei hakovoid shorosh neshamois, through a person hooking up to, latching onto this concept of kisei hakovoid, which is the concept of the sheirish of all the neshamois of the Jews, al yedei zeh hu mekaymoi shaloylam. Such a person becomes a part of this mekaymoi shaloylam. Bechinas vayoshes alehem tevel. That's the wording here, that Hashem spread out the entire world. How does that come about? That a person is zeichet to this level where Hashem spreads out for him the entire mokoyim by hooking up to this kisei hakovoy. Va'alkein, and therefore such a person who yochoy lasayis Rosh Hashanah kanal. Such a person is capable of making Rosh Hashanah. What does this mean? It means that such a tzaddik is capable of conducting Rosh Hashanah, of having people come to him for Rosh Hashanah to attach themselves to him, to be zeichet to draw from him the hamtoka, this judgment, this sweetening of the judgment that can be offered on Rosh Hashanah. This means also that such a tzaddik is one who's permitted to speak to people, to judge people, to be able to speak to people and judge what level they're on and be able to advise them, guide them, what to do, what not to do. It's based on achieving such a level, all the things we spoke about in this Torah, whereby he gets to a madrega where he's zecher to be mekasher himself to the Shorish Neshamas Yisrael. That person is zecher to hook up to the Dvar Hashem, the Tefillah, breaking all the three Tavis Rois, breaking Avodah Zarah, Gilara, Shvichas Damim. That person is zecher to this level. Now note, the tzaddik who is zecher to understand all of this, the tzaddik who presented this lecture, obviously was the one who was on the level to have achieved all of this. One who speaks about something, obviously, he knows it. He knows about it. In other words, the one who knows about it could only know about such an incredible understanding of all of these items only if he himself has achieved it. This was the greatness of Rabbeinu Zal. Questions?
This is the last
point.
We put a second in here. It's not his place, but the world isn't Hashem's place, but Hashem is the place of the world.
Right.
What are we looking at there? world is not Hashem's place.
Meaning that the world is not the ballpark of Hashem. In other words, Hashem is not contained within the world. You understand? It's hard to phrase that in English well. The literal interpretation is that the Olam is not the Mokim of Hashem. The world is not the place of Hashem. Meaning, the world is not what surrounds, what encompasses Hashem. That's a better word. The world does not encompass Hashem. Hashem encompasses the world. Space does not encompass Hashem. Hashem encompasses space. Space is included within the item called Hashem.
I'm afraid that we might belittle Hashem by comparing him to the space world.
What?
That's what we're afraid of, that we might belittle Hashem.
No, we're describing, in other words, this is one of the descriptions of Hashem. That Kabbalah Hashem is not contained within space. Space is contained within Hashem.
One thing when you say inside about the Baal Shem Tov, that the person judges anybody, it's really for himself. If he says anything about anybody,
many times that's a trick. He's being set up to actually pass judgment on himself.
But if he just thinks bad about somebody else, is it also
possible? The warning there is, as far as talking, that's what's mentioned in the Torah from what I recall. The item that's mentioned specifically is speaking, in other words, to watch your mouth to avoid passing judgment. But probably it refers to that also, because we know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that nothing comes about in this world unless it passes through three stages. Machshava, then Dibur, then Maisa. So if you start thinking about something, it means you're setting yourself up to get to the next two levels, and then you're in trouble. So obviously the point to stop it at is the point where you stop thinking. You're thinking about another person, what for? You have nothing to, you finish doing all the thinking that you have to do about yourself, that you're ready to start thinking about the other person, that's a problem. Mitzad Hasheni, this does not free a Jew from the mitzvah. So a Jew will say, okay, now I'm not going to talk about any other Jew, I'm not going to look, the answer is not true, then you're going to be violating a law in the Torah. But this means, you see, that this isn't a joke now. That the 99.99999% of people who are running around with fists flying, smashing every Jew, this guy, we don't like his milk, and this guy, we don't like his cake, and this guy, we don't like the shape of his beard, or how he pinches his hat, or the fact that his hat doesn't have velvet on it, or the fact that his hat does have velvet, all of these things are all for the birds. It's all nonsense. Talking. That's what's mentioned in the Torah from what I recall. The item that's mentioned specifically is speaking, in other words, to watch your mouth to avoid passing judgment. But probably it refers to that also, because we know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that nothing comes about in this world unless it passes through three stages. Machshava, then Dibur, then Maisa. So if you start thinking about something, it means you're setting yourself up to get to the next two levels, and then you're in trouble. So obviously the point to stop it at is the point where you stop thinking. You're thinking about another person, what for? You have nothing to, you finish doing all the thinking that you have to do about yourself, that you're ready to start thinking about the other person, that's a problem. Mitzad Hasheni, this does not free a Jew from the mitzvah. So a Jew will say, okay, now I'm not going to talk about any other Jew, I'm not going to look, the answer is not true, then you're going to be violating a law in the Torah. But this means, you see, that this isn't a joke now. That the 99.99999% of people who are running around with fists flying, smashing every Jew, this guy, we don't like his milk, and this guy, we don't like his cake, and this guy, we don't like the shape of his beard, or how he pinches his hat, or the fact that his hat doesn't have velvet on it, or the fact that his hat does have velvet, all of these things are all for the birds. It's all nonsense.